Several years ago, I was out, gone to a McDonald's about mid-morning, and I had a writing project that was due. And if you are a creative, you know sometimes changing space and place can help you get through some of those mental blocks. And so I was there thinking, and I noticed that in came this sharp-looking guy and his son, and they just kind of stood out. They're having fun, you know. It was obviously in a very good mood, and so they got their food and came over, and just happened to sit right across from me. And I wasn't eavesdropping, but I was just kind of listening to the conversation and all that kind of stuff. And the father, you know, brought the kid, you know, a hamburger and fries and a Coke, and he had offloaded. And then he had a hamburger or a Big Mac or whatever and something to drink, but he didn't have any fries. That's what stood out. And so they were going after it. And all of a sudden, without even thinking, the father reached over and attempted to grab a fry. This angelic little 6-7-year-old boy turned into a demon, a French fry demon from hell, grabbed that big red pack of fries and says, "No, my fries. You go get your own if you want some." I thought I'd smack you down right now, you know. I'm from Kentucky where, you know, spanking kids is not against the law. Most everything's not against the law up there, actually. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm involved now. I'm like, really? Really? If I were your daddy, I'd not only grab them fries away from you, I'd make you strip. Not only did I buy your fries, I bought your shirt and your slacks and your jeans and your underoos. I brought you into this world. I'd take you out. I was upset. And the father was just kind of like shocked. I mean, like, I'm like, what are you going to do? And I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm not that way. Thus, our subject today. How easy is it to just take and take and take and take and take and take and forget how truly blessed it is to give? It is more blessed to give than receive. But none of us truly believe that. But it is true. And in this series, Moneyology, How to Win at Life with Money, we have to conquer this issue of giving and generosity. For God so loved the world that he... There you go. You are never more like God than when you give. But somehow we have been taught that giving is God's way of diminishing our net worth, when nothing can be further than the truth. Matter of fact, giving is understanding that there are laws in life. There's the law, the principle of reciprocity. So Latin, it comes from the Latin, which means moving backward and forward. If you've been a part of the gathering any length of time, I think a summer or two back, I did a series called Generous Wins, Learning to Live in the Flow. That's what reciprocity is. It basically says that God has so constructed the world that what you give out is what you're getting back. If you give out bitterness and anger and depression, then you get back bitterness, anger, and depression. People who have never learned the principle of giving never understand that life is a really abundant place or a desert of scarcity, depending on how you approach it. It can be either one to you. So this morning, I want to talk about how to get to the gain side of giving. And I can't think of a better way to do that than just to go ahead and confront the issue of tithing. Now, I'm not going to condemn you. There are many of you in this room who tithe. Yay, God, the gathering wouldn't be here without you. Yay, God, to that. There are some of you who would like to, but you feel as though you are trapped and can't. I'm really talking maybe to you. And others of you who never really understood what the big deal is. Hopefully, God will be our teacher this morning. Then he can convince you of what you need to do. Amen? I've just started, if you're not aware, a podcast every week right after the David and Paula show. It is not live, but it goes on iTunes and also goes on davidfoster.tv. It's called David Foster, A Renegade's Guide to God. And this last episode I did on do you have to tithe to be a good Christian? And you can deal, it will deal with issues I'm not going to deal with here today that are more kind of theological and those kind of things. But I want to just try to help you. One of the first things that God did for me when I became a Christian when I was 18 years old, about the first 2 weeks of my 18th year, is I stopped smoking. I started smoking when I was 11. And I'm from Kentucky, where smoking is indeed a spiritual gift. And this may sound terrible, but every kid I knew smoked at 11. We raised it. We thank God for tobacco, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not, opposed to what some of you seem to be sending a lot of hate my way, but that's okay. That's all right. I love you anyway. And I started tithing. If someone had said to me, even as a young Christian, you stop smoking, I would have said, make sure I keep on buying non-filtered Camels. I'm a renegade. How about you? I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want God to teach me and change me and help me understand so that it's integrated in my heart. That makes sense? And I started tithing. No one said, hey, you need to tithe or you can go into hell or anything like that. It just seemed to be a good thing, a right thing. I'd read it in the scripture. I'd taken a little Bible with me. I was working in a factory and I would read it at break and I came across it and I said, hey, you know what? I make $1.60 an hour. How much can it be? Right? Rockefeller said, I could never tithe my millions if I hadn't learned to tithe when I made $1.50 an hour. I mean, tithing is a great thing. You know why? Because it is proportionate. If you're here this morning and you made $1,000 this week, your tithe is $100. Now, I can do that math in my head. But if you made $100 this week, your tithe is $10. And, the question is, if you make $1,000 and you gave $90 and you made $100 and you gave $11, in God's eyes, the guy who gave $11 would be giving more than the guy who gave $90. God is a smart dude. May I call God a dude? Yes, I may. We're on speaking terms. Tithe is this principle, and I hope you will understand as we go through these that this is a principle that applies to the four areas of our lives that God has given us to win: time, talent, resources, and relationships. Tithing is a part of the whole issue. One of the reasons why we admonish you and ask you to volunteer, set up, take down, teach kids about God is because you need to tithe 10% of your income, 10% of your time, 10% of your talents, and 10% of your relationship. It implies everywhere across life. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you cannot believe that, but you will also pay the price for your disbelief. This is built into life. And today we're going to be set free from this idea that life is take, 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 more for me. So what I want to do is give you the top 10 reasons I tithe. Build a case so you maybe can help not only bolster your commitment to tithing now, but maybe understand how you can create wealth and prosperity in your life by living and activating this principle of a tithe. Okay? Top 10 reasons why I tithe. Number one, I'll just get this out of the way, and some of you aren't going to like it, but just suck it up. Stay with me. I tithe initially because it is a guarantee of more for me. Very selfish, isn't it? You see, I am a selfish, needy sinner. I'm constantly sending out messages, even to my blessed wife who has loved me well. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I'm like a little dog. Anybody out there love me? I'm looking for a happy ending. Right? And I'm constant, even though I know the scriptures, I've read the scriptures, I've been to seminary, I'm official. I'm a professional Christian. I'm still wanting to know what's in it for me. I've had people say, well, I can't believe you build a church where people just come what's in it for them. Well, what kind of church would you want to go to? A boring, dead church that believes nothing, has nothing, and does nothing? Well, that's where most Americans go, so I guess it is. I mean, think about it. We have millions and millions and millions and millions of people in America. We whine and gripe about all these other religions taking over the world. Well, why don't we Christians start acting like what we say we believe? I'm not talking about shooting somebody and burning something down. I'm talking about being the kind of men and women who believe that generosity and blessing win. If you give, you will get. See, there's where I start right there. When I read that, I'm saying, I'm in. You know, because what I want to get something. I want to get something out of this service. I want to get something out of my marriage. I want to get something out of being a father. And I have to tell you, all of those things bless me and are generous to me in ways I could never begin to measure or repay. Relationships are generous when you're generous. You know what? Here's what I learned. If you give people half a chance, they will blow your socks off with their goodness and generosity. But how many of you believe he's out to screw me? Yeah, there are people out to screw you, and they got big tattoos. Says, I want to screw you. And you can see them coming from a mile off if you're really looking. But what you find is generous people are almost invisible. They're out there pouring into your life because they understand that the more generous they are at work and at life, the more generous life becomes and God is to them. If you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full, overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for what? And I'm always open for more. How about you? Really? It's going to be this way all morning? You're going to make me work? I'm already tired, man. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. So you know what? You are reaping the benefits of whatever it is you've been sowing. You've been sowing fear, doubt, and dread. You're living the life of your fears. How many of us say every day, I'm afraid I'll have a wreck. I'm afraid I'll run out of gas. I'm afraid my car will break. I'm afraid I'll lose my job. And guess what? Sometimes we magnetize the very thing we fear. I tithe because tithing is a guarantee of more for me. I am a needy, broken sinner who I leak. Anyone else? I just do. I leak constantly. I want Paula to constantly say, I love you. Man, you are a good man. You, man, when I look at you, I go, wow, that's a good looking dude. I need my children to say, oh, daddy, you're the best daddy in the whole world. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, daddy, I love you. One of the reasons I have dogs. I love you. I mean, you give a dog a half a hallelujah and they can live on it forever. Amen? Come on. I tithe because it is a guarantee of more for me. Thank you, Lord. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But followed right behind that, I tithe because it is a debt I owe. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Every day, I mean, I'm standing here today on the shoulders of giants, men and women who've loved me, cared for me, blessed me, taken care of me. I will never forget when I went to seminary in Memphis, and I got out. Just so y'all know I'm not crazy. I stayed there, and as long as I had to, I got out of that place. And I went to seminary, and Paula and the girls were living up in Glasgow, and we had no money, we had no apartment, we had nothing. And I was mad at God, mad. I was so mad, even dirt made me mad. And then my appendix ruptured, and I spent almost a month in the hospital. And don't remember about two weeks of it. It was awful. I ruptured appendix, gangrene set in, the whole thing. If you ever, people die from that stuff. Everybody here understand that. So I get out of the hospital. I'm still mad. I'm mad at God, mad at dirt, and now I'm in debt. Had no insurance, tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt, no job, hated God, not in such a way that I'd go to hell, but just hated him, you know, in the friendly way. You know what I'm saying? I've loved you. I've served you. I've been a preacher. God, I mean, when you love to have to be a preacher the rest of your life, that'd be like a sentence for shoplifting, right? And yet 6 months after that, every single dime and dollar that I owed was paid. You know who paid it? I don't either. They paid it to the seminary, who paid it to the hospital, who said, people who believe in you have paid your debt. Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe I need to straighten up, act like somebody, right? And God will prove to you over and over and over and over again that if you will take care of the generosity and the giving and the flow, he will take care of how it gets done. Some of you are so hooked up on and trapped up on, well, how's it going to happen? Who knows? I don't know. That's part of the adventure, isn't it? God will bless you in ways that you can't begin to understand. If you understand that every day, every moment, you are in debt to someone who has loved you, believed in you, supported you, and helped you. And the best thing you can do to pay that debt is to live well. Amen? Yeah. Third, I tithe because it is indeed a command I obey. I used to think that the Baptists made this up. Seriously. Because we heard it like four or five times a year. This is out of Malachi. This is the old Bible. That's what we used to call it. So that's the old Bible. We live under the new Bible. This is the old Bible. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. And see, but I will not throw up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing, you'll not have room enough for it. So the question then becomes, is tithing the New Testament standard for giving? The Old Testament standard was tithing. And if you were to add up all the different tithes, 10% is taught in the Old Testament tithe was something over 20%. Because there were tithes on several things. There were tithes on crops and there were tithes on animals, and they didn't cross over. So if in the Old Testament tithing was the standard, does the New Testament teach that tithing is the high water mark of Christian living? And the answer would be no, it does not. I talk about this in detail in this last week's podcast. But let me ask you this question. In the Old Testament law, where they had to do sacrifices and all that went with it, now we have one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Do we have more benefits under grace or fewer? The answer would be more. Is what we have under Jesus better? Read the book of Hebrews. The theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better than the law. So the question is, would I give less under a better covenant than I would under an inferior covenant? And the answer is absolutely not. So what is the standard of giving in the New Testament? Here it is. Generous, joyful generosity. Hilarious giving. Joyful giving. Joyful generosity. The wealth that you create in your life, the wealth and goodwill, will come to you through the practice of joyful generosity. I don't have to give. I don't have to give. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. Amen? I don't have to give. I get to give. I don't have to work. I get to work. The Old Testament is, this is what you must do. And the New Testament, this is what you get to do. It's also, next, a war I win. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. I will not let my possessions become my obsessions. How easy is it for our blessing to become our burden? Our stuff all of a sudden becomes our bondage, because now we have to maintain it, we have to protect it. And then we have to get go one of these buildings, you know, one of the fastest growing industries in America, storage buildings. I live out in the country, they just put one up in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, how do people find these things? Because there aren't enough. But we got so much stuff. I mean, the solution to everything that ails me today is more stuff. How about you? There's a war going on. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to put my hope in God or my hope in stuff? Huh? I'm going to put my hope in God, who is the giver of all good things, according to James. See, here are the things we know about God. We know that God is wise and good. We know that God is true and faithful. And we know that he is abundantly generous. For God so loved the world that he gave. What is God always going to be doing? God is going to always be who he is. There will never be a day when God won't fully always be who he is and do what he does. And at the very soul and heart of the nature of God is to create abundance. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? It's either true or it's not true. If it's not true, I go do something else. But if it's true, then I do it. I also tithe because it's a seed I sow. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I think about this, we live in a culture where, you know, having kids is like a bother. I mean, kids are expensive. Did everybody know this? They got to eat, number one. And then you got to clothe them. That's a real drag. Thank God for Walmart. But you know, here's the cool thing about when you get them growed. When you get them growed and they go to work, they begin to earn money. And if you have like more than one, they can all afford the nursing home you're going to. Praise Jesus. Amen. I mean, I think about when went to college and 10 years, 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, 3 years of graduate school. I'm thinking, when I went through that, I'm thinking, God, this is torture. Working as a tool and die, I love working as a tool and die maker. It was so much fun. I worked my way through. We never borrowed a dime or a dollar to go through school. We've never borrowed a dime or a dollar to put our girls through school. And I look back at all of that expense and all of that time and all of that sacrifice, and I'm going, I'm a smart dude. Amen? Somebody came up to me at Starbucks and said, am I supposed to call you Dr. Foster? And I said, yes, because I've earned it. I said, no, no, you have to call me. But in my heart, I did. I wanted to say, I'm just being honest. Not because I think it makes me better. I just paid a lot of money for that DR period. Anybody ever done that? And you look back and say, yay, God. Thank God I made. And that seed of going to school, or that seed of marrying this amazing woman, I mean, what my life has become because we had three kids and we went to the expense. They are expensive. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? We could always eat our seed corn. We could always say, well, you know what? I don't want to be bothered with kids. I don't want to be bothered with the expense. I don't want to be bothered. No, 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 no. It's not a bother. You're sowing your future. seriously, right? You're sowing your future. And when you tithe and when you give, you are sowing your future. And some of you right now say, you know what, my life sucks. Okay, it doesn't have to, but you're going to have to learn the principle of sowing and reaping. Not even God himself can violate this. Sometimes we come and say, oh, God, forgive me. And he does. But then we say, oh, God, fix me. And he doesn't. Because you're not a refrigerator. You're a person. And the joy of living is learning and growing and being blessed by doing the right thing. I also tithe because it's an investment that I make. Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in to steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Here's the principle. Tweet this. Do you giving while you're living so you'll be knowing where it's going? Amen? Amen? Say it with me. Do your giving while you're living so you'll be knowing where it's going. Look at the person next to you and say it. Do your giving while you're living so you'll be knowing where it's going. Amen? I can do stuff, man. I tell you, even if I did think that up, that's good. I think back over our lives and from very beginning, Paul and I knew what we were supposed to do. We've invested our lives in the Church of Jesus Christ since we were 18. Just in building church buildings, we've given literally tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know how much over the years it would be. It'd be a lot of money. I know that. And every dime of that, we still have. Because those dollars are still, right now while I'm standing here, there are church buildings in Greenville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, on the other side of the city, filled with people learning about God. And I get just a little bit of the credit. Have you ever done something you say, you know what, I invested in that. Amen? If you invest in what God is passionate about, you never lose it. You may not be able to take it with you, but you can certainly send it on up ahead. I tithe because it is also a quality that I seek. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart. Not reluctantly, amen. Not under, as Barney would say, compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Let me say it one more time. I said it before. The number one wealth and goodwill generator in your life will be joyful generosity. That's the standard. Joyful generosity. Thanking God for every day, every moment. Every moment is a gift from God, right? Every second, every breath, every person you see, every interaction, all the talents, all the skill that God has given you is a gift. I also tithe because it's a satisfaction that I take. It feels good to tithe. It feels good. Man, when the offering plate comes around, I don't go, I'm looking for something in my purse. Go ahead and pass that on. What was it? Was it? There's something wrong with my iPad. What's it? Pass it. I'll get it next time. Have you ever done that when the offering comes around? What's it? I think it's in here. Wait just a minute. Well, go on. I'll get it later. Liar, liar. Hands on fire. I tithe because next, it's a statement that I'm able to make. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Tweet this. Okay, this is good stuff. I'm telling you, I just want you to know. When I do good stuff, I try to tell you because maybe sometimes you don't recognize it. Right off. Quote, you will not be remembered for what you take from the world for yourself, but what you make of yourself for the world you were given. You will not be remembered for what you take from the world for yourself, but what you make of yourself for the world you were given. Isn't that good? Come on. Yeah, that's good. Now, here's the last one. Since I sinned on point number one, I'm going to bounce back on point number two. I was a Baptist when we started. Now I'm a Presbyterian. I'm going to come right back. I tithe because tithing has taught me that it is a guarantee that it is not about me. See, here's the only way you can live a selfless life is to think about yourself less. Because you have found yourself in Christ. I get really nervous when preachers and teachers of the Bible talk about you just need to deny yourself. Well, if you mean by that it shouldn't be all about me, I'm with you. But if you mean by that I don't matter, I'm not with you. Because the gospel is the very statement that you are valuable to God. That you yourself matter to Him. When you find yourself in Christ, are you with me? Then you can think less about yourself without thinking less about yourself. You with me? The scriptures are very clear. Don't think more. Paul said in the book of Romans, don't think more about yourself than you should, and don't think less about yourself. Think exactly the right point. God loves me. He always will, not as I ought to be, but as I am, and He has my back. Woo! He has my back. Huh? Yay, God is right. So what am I supposed to do? Face the future with God on my back. He's there. He's going to supply, take care of me. 365 times, fear not. I'm not afraid of FUD. Fear and something in doubt. I'm not afraid of FOP. Fear of people. I'm not afraid of FOF. I can go all day if y'all got time. Fear of the future. God has my back. Amen. He will never leave me or forsake me. Huh? David said, I've been young and I'm old and I've never seen God's elect, which means it's a Presbyterian, forsaken or begging bread. You say, well, I have. Well, then start acting like a kid of the kingdom and do the things kids of God do. And then you'll get what kids of God get. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you will be our teacher. Oh, in my heart and soul, I pray that down deep inside each one of us, the bonds and the chains of fear and doubt will break away. That we will lean into our lives knowing that you are with us. You will never leave us forsaken. We have your promises, your power, your presence, and your providence. That we will never live a day outside of the preview of your love and sovereignty. And nothing will get to me but doesn't come through you. Amen. You're dismissed.